When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. We're here with Bill Goldberg calling in again. And we got our buddy Alistair Weaver from Edmunds.com in the studio. And before we get started, I want to tell you guys about a few things. CarCast is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is an ultra-thin, high-temperature coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off. You can learn more at Zycoat.com. That's Z-Y-C-O-A-T.com. And of course, Geico. Save some money on car insurance. Go to Geico.com. And check out Wrangler. Check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. Go to Wrangler.com. All right.
Now, you buy a pair of those jeans yet, for God's sakes.
I don't have any of the Wranglers yet. They should send me some Wranglers. I'll wear those.
Come on, man. You got to help out the sponsors.
That's what I'm saying. I'll wear them. I'm kind of a jeans guy. That's Adam Carolla's formal
wait.
Wear, by the way.
I can't wait to see you in a pair of jeans and go.
Yeah. Jeans are Adam's formal wear. It's kind of like he's like sport coat and jeans. I got this. I kind of do the same thing now.
It's the top day Clarkson look, isn't it?
Yeah, we could do that. It's all
the question is that, okay, Alistair, you can answer this. Is that an American thing or is that kind of worldwide?
Jeans or Wranglers?
No, jacket and jeans. Jacket and jeans.
Jacket and jeans.
Do you know who invented jacket and jeans? I think that was Jeremy Clarkson on the early days of Top Gear.
Jeremy Clarkson.
And he became, give me a break.
And he became, but over here I discovered that it's called a sport coat.
It is called a sport coat.
Sport coat. Yeah. Because I went into a store and the guy says, what you need is a sport coat. But
yeah.
I thought, I really don't. but yeah, I think that began on Top Gear. It's sort of informal, a bit like a mullet, isn't it? Sort of formal and formal and informal simultaneously.
Speaking of Jeremy Clarkson, he's been posting to Instagram, and I guess he's on vacation. I think that's his wife. It's like this pretty
girlfriend,
blonde.
I think. Yeah. Did you see that picture this morning?
Yeah, I was like, way out of his league. I don't care how much money he's making, way out of his league. Like, he must get up in the morning, look at her, and go, I gotta lose some LBs, man. Like, he's just gotta feel bad about himself a little bit. This is way beyond, like, I don't know what's going on there in England, but that's the American dream, right? Is the 6 foot blonde that is way out of his league. So I don't know. It's good for him, I guess.
He's living the dream.
Yeah, living the dream. Guys, thank you so much for this past weekend, for Sunday. We had our 10th anniversary car show event. It was fantastic. Over 800 people showed up throughout the day for all of our events. The screening was sold out. The Adam Carolla show was sold out. The car show looked fantastic. Alistair was there. He brought his 993.
I did.
Right? Fresh and new.
Fresh and new. Picked it up on Saturday. Brought it to the CarCast show on Sunday.
There you go. There you looked go. Great. You got to catch up with your friend Mike Brewer from Wheeler Dealers. You guys did a show back together back in the day.
We did a show in the UK about 12 years ago on TV show. And I actually did my screen test in Mike Brewer's front garden. I walked out of his front door. My first TV appearance was walking out of Mike's front door and thing, which was great. They're a lovely family, and I've known them a long time and skied with them a few times. So as well, they're a great bunch.
Really it nice was great to see them out there. Jeff Dunham came out. He brought a Ford GT, brand new Ford GT, only has 100 miles on it. He had it custom painted purple, and this is what's interesting, Bill, is – He ordered a while ago, years ago, a Dodge Viper ACR, and he went through the whole process of finding the right color purple that he wanted on this thing so he can get a purple ACR. And when it came time to do his Ford GT, he just said, oh, I want to do it purple. and he just pulled the color code off of it. So his Dodge ACR purple is what's on his Ford GT. So we filmed some stuff with him, and it was great. We had fun with him, and of course Jay Leno. Thanks to Jay. Jay brought a Jensen out, and he was in head to toe denim, and he looked great. And he jumped up on stage and did sort of the opening ceremonies with us, which we appreciated. And
he's the only guy that can do double denim well. Isn't
yeah,
he?
Right. He just that's it. And we ask him all the time, why do you wear the denim all the time? And he says, well, I film so many different things, and when they need to pick up a shot, I'm always wearing the same thing. It's good. I just walk in and just like, hey, Jay, we need to redo this. He's like, okay, just do it. That's his rationale. But also maybe he loves denim. I don't know. But it
makes
good.
Sense. I got to tell you.
It was a good event. Thanks for everybody that showed up. Some of the comments that I got were, what a great mix of cars. Usually when there's like a Peterson event, it's like it's the Ferrari stuff or the a muscle car thing or a Porsche thing. And this is such a great mix of cars. And we picked, Adam and I picked our favorites. And then we issued a best of show. And then there was a People's Choice Award, and the People's Choice Award was that orange Chevy Blazer, which I think was similar to yours, but it was like a 70, not a 69. Yeah. And it looked pretty cool. I picked a Datsun 510 drift car because I just love the amount of work that these guys put in there. No real, just made it as functional as can be into a wacky drift car. You didn't even know it was a Datsun 510. I believe Adam picked a wagon. I don't remember which wagon it was. And then the best of show was a Porsche. Just really, really done to the nines, an older Porsche. I'm going to say 70s-ish Porsche, that red one.
Do you know which I liked? Probably none of those. Do you see the Honda Beat there?
Yes.
So this was, for those people I've never heard of a Honda Beat, and why would you? This was called a Japanese K car, which back in the early 90s, Japan had to... For tax reasons, they restricted these cars to a certain dimension. So you get these tiny little cars. But a lot of the manufacturers started to have fun with it, and the Honda Beat was an example of this. So it's these tiny little... So if you imagine a Mazda Miata to about half scale, it must be absolutely terrifying on the streets of LA. And
I'm sure.
Sat next to an Acura NSX, and it just looked fantastic. I love the eccentricity. And the guy with it had a great shirt on and everything else. He was loving it.
It's funny you mention that. I was riding years ago. I was riding with a buddy of mine. He's got a Ford Excursion, big truck, and the Fiat 500 was coming out, and we're driving next to it. We're in this big Excursion. This little Fiat 500 rolls up next to us. Sounds like I go, hey, look, it's the new Fiat 500. It's just a little speck of a car just sitting next to us. He looks down. He goes, I don't trust a car that I can hug.
Yeah. I've actually got it here, mate. I've looked it up. The length of the length of beat had to be under 130 inches long.
Wow.
The entire length of the car. And this was a mid-engine two-seater sports car. It's fantastic.
I don't think Bill would fit in one, but I remember you were doing something. You were filming a pilot or something for a show, and you tried to flip a Fiat 500, right?
No, it was a smart car.
Smart car.
The final call for Top Gear, American Top Gear years ago. Mm-hmm. It was Exhibit and I, and there was a S65 Mercedes or a smart car to take around the track and commentate. And I like Exhibit, and so I gave him the opportunity to drive the twin turbo, and I wanted to flip the smart car, and unfortunately it wouldn't flip. They put an anti-roll device in it the year before, so...
He's just trying to jack the wheel on that thing, trying to get that thing to flip over while he's driving.
I had visions of you just picking it up, Bill.
It would be great TV, right?
It would. He's deliberately trying to hurt himself with this thing.
I took one of those to the Arctic once as a story for Top Gear.
Did you really?
Yeah, we drove it from the Arctic Circle all the way to the far north of Sweden, of Norway.
Oh, wow.
I don't even...
I don't know where to begin.
I don't know.
It's a great shot, actually. This is going back 10 years in Top Gear, where we had eight Huskies tied to the front of the Smart trying to pull it.
Did it work?
Ish. it was stopping was the big problem. It wasn't going. It was stopping. That was the issue.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. All right. So I want to talk. I just want to get a quick update on some of Bill's cars, and maybe we can talk a little bit about what happened over at Geneva Auto Show. I don't know if it's all just concept cars that were cool, or an actual any production cars cool. So maybe we'll get into that. First, I'll tell you guys a little bit more about Zybar. Our friends at Zybar, they came out to the event. Our friend Tim came out there and had a good time talking with him as well. Zybar is the revolutionary new DIY high temperature coating in a resin polymer formula that reduces heat by 90% at a cost about one third of ceramic coating. So where did this technology from Zybar come from? Well, not surprisingly, the technology was developed in the aerospace industry, where it's used to coat jet engines and other aircraft parts where surface temps can exceed 1,800 degrees. So don't think of this as some kind of insulation. Coating the parts with this special formulation increases the rate at which hot gases pass through them. This effect drastically lowers surface temperature and allows a tranche of fresh air in the cylinder quickly. In an airplane engine, this prevents these extremely hot parts from catching the plane on fire. That's kind of important when you're flying.
Yeah.
Avoid fire and death. In your car,
it's quite coating topical at the moment as well.
Right? In your car, coating your headers, manifolds, and exhaust with Zybar increases horsepower and performance. This process is also often referred to as scavenging. We know that. You guys heard us talk about that. We talk about header lengths and things like that. This is all part of that. As a CarCast subscriber, you'll receive a 15% discount plus free shipping on all online orders. Just enter promo code CarCast when you make a purchase at Zycoat.com. So check that out. Go to Zycoat.com, Z-Y-C-O-A-T.com. Use promo code CARCAST and get 15% off along with free shipping. All right. Bill, last week we talked about getting the drag race set of wheels and tires for your car, and then we're going to be gearing up to go out to the Dodge event. I did speak to the Dodge guys a little bit, and they said, yes, come out, do some driving. And I said, well, we want to get in a couple of those Challenger 1320s and go head-to-head. And they said, yeah, we think we can make that happen. And I'm waiting
hopefully
for hopefully
that'll be Saturday.
Yes. Yes, it will. It'll be Saturday.
Goldberg is not going to be there for the 3-day period. You know, we got a procession of cars going up, man. Let's shoot for Saturday for sure. I got to talk to John today on the phone, and those guys are great, man. I let the cat out of the bag a little bit, but they're going to recreate Muscleville, man. So it's going to be a pretty cool deal. It's going to be kind of a recreation of the commercial. So.
Nice. It'll be good.
There's a lot of fun stuff happening. You know, the Speedcore Evolution Charger is going to be there now, too.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, every day they're getting more and more added to the docket, man. It's going to be awesome. Let me backtrack for a second and apologize to you and everybody else about not making it to the event. Unfortunately, at my accelerated age of 52, I find myself as a father and a husband, and with a triple header baseball day on my plate on Sunday, I did find it impossible to make it up there. So I do apologize. It sounds like you guys had one hell of a time, and it's something that I regret missing. But duty calls, man.
No, understood. It's all good. And we had a great time. It was sort of our first one. We were kind of getting a feel for it, and we're going to do more. And I'm going to pitch this idea to you guys: is we want to do an annual thing at the Peterson, which is great. However, I'm trying to get a version of this going where it's kind of a 2-day event, where maybe Vegas, where we work with one of the casinos. Adam's done live shows there before.
I'm in.
Okay. We go out there, we do live CarCast shows and ACS stuff at one of the casinos, and then the next day we do our car show at like Pahrump or Vegas Speedway, and then do a track day as well and have people come out and throw some cars around the track. So we're going to try to do sort of a weekend thing, and we'll be able to work with one of the casinos, and they'll sell a package. You want rooms, you want tickets to the show, you want track day stuff. We're going to go out there. We'll film some stuff. So I'm kind of hoping we can get one of those in the books as well. And, But now, like, maybe we're just getting a little ahead of ourselves because we had like a good weekend. It was a lot of work. And now we're like, hey, we could do this bigger and better. I was like, I don't know if we want to get into the event business, but I do like the idea of a track day. And I think Vegas is a better place to do it than, let's say, have a show here in LA. Then we all drive out in the middle of nowhere to do Willow Springs. I think Vegas would be the more fun version of that. And in which case, we'll definitely put something together, and Bill will come out. We'll hit the track. We'll do some live show stuff, and we'll make it a fun kind of a event. So that's kind of what we're thinking. That's our fantasy, is to do that. All we got to do is get Dodge
to pay
for it.
Sounds like a rip to me.
We just got to get Dodge to pay for it.
I'll be happy to drive a Charger up or something.
Right? Just bring something up. I'm surprised the Speed Corps car is going to be done. It looked like they were getting a lot of work done on it, but also it's far away. So not only do they got to finish it, they got to haul it out there. And I guess they're going to just bring it and put it on display. You probably won't even see it till it gets there, right?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with it. I mean, truth be told, if it's not there, I'm not going to cry a river by any stretch, because like you said, if people are watching my Instagram, I'm putting updates on kind of as they happen. So the front fenders haven't been put on yet. The hood hasn't been installed. You know, there are a number of things that need to be done. But with the
this is like a full carbon rebody.
He gave me a 2 week out. So I assumed that the thing was going straight to Springfest. But you never know. It may show up there. It may not. It may show up. It's going to Burbank first. So it may show up at your house or something. So
yeah, bring it on over here.
You know, I can't wait to get this car, man. This has been kind of a sordid tale, a storied life of the car. You know, it went out to Carolina, and things didn't work out there on it, and it went straight from Mooresville to Wisconsin in a matter of 24 hours, and man, I'm telling you, those guys got to work on it immediately, and the things that they're doing in a two-week period of time are astounding. Just greatly appreciative of all those guys. Dave over there at Speed Corps, those guys are fantastic.
Well, we'd love to see it. It'd be cool if it came out to the event. It certainly wouldn't be surprising that if they were able to bring it out to the event, they'd probably have to load it up and bring it back so they can kind of finish and nip and tuck a few things. It seems very unlikely they would bring it out and then you get to take it home. That seems a little fast.
you never know, man. Yeah. Those guys are working quick. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to be disappointed. It's something that I've been waiting to get done for a while. You know, it was incomplete at SEMA. And, you know, 6 months afterwards, we're hoping that it's going to be finished here soon.
Yeah.
But hey, man, I get to go to Scottsdale tomorrow. And guess where I'm going to go about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon?
I know we've been talking about it. You're going to go hit up the Bondurant School.
Oh, no. I'm hitting that Friday morning.
Okay.
Tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to hug the lawman.
You got to go see Marcus Angel. Does he know you're coming? Please don't tell him.
Yes. I already did. I let him know yesterday.
Oh, you did?
About late notice.
Yeah, but, he's probably mopping the floors and all that. He's trying to get his stuff going.
I can't do that, man. All I can tell you is I'm so excited. I saw the first coat of paint going on that car, and man, I'm not going to say we're headed down the home stretch, but that's a very positive sight to see.
Have you been over to his place yet?
I have not. I cannot wait to go.
It's cool. It's funky cool. He in Arizona, like you can get some property, and there's actually neighborhoods that have giant garages and stuff. Like, I don't know if his was built specifically, but there's like all through Phoenix and Glendale, you can actually, there's communities where you could buy the house and there's a giant garage for like to store motorhomes and stuff in it. So like if you're into that, you can just, there's like neighborhoods you can just go back there. So he's got his house and he's got a giant garage, and his shop, his whole business is in his backyard. And his looks like he kind of built it that way. It wasn't really sort of one of the neighborhood things. But when I bought my 93 Cobra and I bought the red car, I was in Phoenix and I drove, I think, like out to somewhere in the Glendale area. And it was just a neighborhood of just houses. And every house had like a double tall, extra long garage in it. And it had like a two-car garage door for the normal size. And then next it was the giant garage door for the motorhome. And you could just park it in there. And everybody just had like, everybody just had like shops and cars and bikes and all kinds of stuff in there. And just like everyone in the neighborhood did. You know, there were kids just had like trampolines in there. It's just like, it's cool. It was just fantastic.
I remember doing a job down there once that Ford's got a proving ground around there, like a big test facility.
I think they do.
But it's just brutal because in the summer, I mean, it's there because it's extreme. You're right, Bill. It's extreme.
I dropped my phone.
I think it fell over.
And it's all be there because for extreme testing. But
that's
my
it.
God, it's brutal.
It's got to
be like
brutal.
You just stand there and fry for 5 minutes.
Well, I went to the Bondurant School years ago in the summer, and that's a pain in the ass. So that's going to be exciting. Oh yeah, Jesus! It was ridiculous. Bob Bondurant was driving a Brabus smart car.
Oh, that's cool.
And he got pulled over by a cop, and the cop looks at his ID and he's like, "You're the Bondurant guy?" He's like, "Yeah," and he goes, "Nice car," and like gave back his license and just let him go. Just let him go. All right, so you're going to go hit up Marcus Angel, check in on the lawman, take some pictures for sure. Give us an update next week. You're going to go to Bondurant School. You're going to do some drag racing. That's going to be fantastic as well. Let's get into some car show stuff. We're going to have to give up this studio in a little bit because we've got another crew lining up outside the door. But first, let me tell you
Alistair, what can you tell us about the new Fisker?
Oh, Fisker.
Oh, well,
yeah, you think of that.
You guys see that? They're coming out with an all electric car for $40,000.
Yeah, so isn't everybody?
Right? All right, you hold that thought. I'm going to tell you guys about Geico first. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. All right. So what's going on? What was happening? First of all, what's going on with Fisker? I love how, by the way, Tesla, you know, I pick on Tesla. It's kind of my thing. But they were like $35,000 Model 3. Then it didn't happen. Then they came back and then it happened. And then they're saying, yeah, but we're closing stores and we're raising all our prices. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting if you follow it. And we follow Tesla pretty closely.
Oh, I know you do.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I get? I know you get some abuse. Everybody gets some abuse on Twitter and everything. But I now have. If I published something on the weekend back in the UK as talking about our Edmunds experience in the Sunday Times, which is a huge newspaper in the UK. And I start getting some abuse on Twitter about how bad a piece it was and everything else. I mean, it's extraordinary. These people don't necessarily work for the company. They're just these sort of intense fanboys. I mean, I find it extraordinary that you can build this kind of cult around a car brand. Tesla is announcing tomorrow night the Model Y, which is an SUV. So this will sit below the X, so kind of between the three, which is obviously a sedan, and the X, which is the big
SUV. Is it going to be based on the 3 platform?
Yeah, pretty,
it's just going to be like an SUV version of the 3? Sure, makes sense. Financially, they should do it that way.
It totally makes sense because, you know, the whole market is dominated by SUVs. So this will go up against the EQC, the Mercedes, the Audi e-tron. So it makes a lot of sense for them. And there'll be no doubt a lot of buzz around that.
Yeah, I like what it represents. I hope that it goes well, but there's still some growing pains for a company that's raised so much money.
Well, I was up in Indian Wells just on a two-day vacation, and it had the sign on the door of the Tesla dealership that said, you know, we're now selling online, and all the cars were sat there, the lights were off, and people were standing in the street looking at it.
Yeah.
And then they came out with a press release a few days ago that said, actually, we're not now closing the dealerships because of that, we're putting prices up by 3%, but not on a $35,000 car. And it's almost like they're making up policy on the hoof. It's an extraordinary way to run what is now a big business. And we were just looking at this, thinking, what is really going on? And apparently, a lot of it is to do with the leases. So what they've done is, we're going to shut the deals. You saw it before. And people say, hang on a minute, you've got a 3-year lease, you've got a 5-year lease, a 10-year lease on this property. So it's, we can't do that. Let's just put prices up. I mean, I get a lot of abuse for this sort of thing, but it's mad. I mean, we're kind of supportive of it. I like what it represents. I like a lot of what they do. They like to, you know, to think differently and to challenge the kind of paradigms that have existed for the last 100 years. And that's great. But they do some things which I just think are very odd. From a consumer perspective, it's just a strange
thing. I question the things on the business side of it. Like somebody, whoever the CFO, the finance guys over there said, let's sell online, let's cancel all of our stores. But they didn't think, what about all the leases? What about all of the commitments we've made to the commercial properties? Like, so then they had to backtrack. It's like, come on, be better than this. You're a public company.
There's also some issues around this saying 80% of cars are bought online. Well, they sort of are and they're not, because even if you go into a dealership, a lot of people go in the dealership, then they'll buy it online. So it's never as clear-cut as that. And it's something that we're wrestling with as well, because you can now buy cars. We're starting to sell cars through Edmunds. Still goes through a dealer, but basically you can do the whole thing through the site. And it's a big issue, not least because do people want to go in and sit in them and then do want to test drive them, and how you kind of wrestle with that.
Yeah.
And they're solving it in the way to say, a bit like the mattress companies, you know, we'll give you the car. If you don't like it, hand it back. And that seems to be the way forward. And it always amazes me how many people are willing to buy a car without ever sort of sitting in it or driving it. And because...
Well, the dealers, it's a tough business model for them. But now you're right. Now it's like I can go to the dealers and test drive a few cars, and then go home, and then go online and buy it.
Yeah, and arguably get a better deal. To Edmunds, you get a better deal.
And then I feel like I'm controlling the process. I don't feel like I just hate like when they sit there and I go, the car's $35,000. Okay, yeah, I say it's 32, and then they go, well, how much do you want to pay a month? I'm like, that's not the conversation we're in.
Yeah.
You know, don't come to me with that how much you're going to pay a month kind of thing. Like, that's just your weird sort of sleight of hand that I don't want to get into. But Bill, you mentioned Fisker, and that brings up an interesting point. We've had Henrik Fisker here on the show, and a charming fellow, smart guy. And endearing, like you want to hear him, you're kind of mesmerized in the ideas and what he's saying. But now I'm just kind of confused on the different companies. There's like his company, and then somebody bought Fisker, and then I don't know if he's making cars or not making cars, or is he making gas engine cars or electric cars? And they kind of like he created a car company called Fisker Automotive, and then. Things went poorly, and then things got sold off. And along with that often goes with like the name and the trademarks of things. So now I don't know who's making what.
To be honest, it's the same with like Faraday Future went down, and then suddenly Byton exists. And, you know, there's a lot of parallels, but, you know, and similarities even in people between those two. So, yeah, it's hard to find. I remember meeting Henrik when he was at Aston Martin. He took over from Ian Callum as the chief designer of Aston Martin. Mm-hmm. And it's always a kind of strange thing where designers end up running companies, isn't it? It's a bit like the lunatics in charge of the asylum, I think.
It's a little bit that, yeah. It's a little bit of that. So I don't know the breakdown of it. Maybe we'll do a little more research and get more answers about it. But it'd be interesting to find out. Okay, let's say we've got about a few minutes left. Did you get out to Geneva Motor Show?
Do you know what? It's the first one in 20 years that I haven't been to.
Well, you're American now, so
American now. You can tell.
Yeah. you came here and you bought a Porsche like every other American in L.A. and stopped going to the Geneva Motor Show.
Well, I was missing.
I sent my people.
So we had people on the ground there. It's an interesting show. Have you ever been?
I've never been, no.
So Europe has two big auto shows. It has Geneva in March, and then Paris and Frankfurt alternate in September, October. And, you know, it's always that kind of, it's always quite high end. I mean, Geneva is the place to go to buy a hugely expensive watch and to do some banking and all the rest of it. So, yeah. And the motor show kind of reflects that. And this year was strange to me looking at it. Normally there's a sprinkling of what you might call, you know, everyday normal cars. This year it was either electric, and we saw a lot of electric concepts. This is coming thick and fast. But then it was just hypercar after hypercar after hypercar.
Yeah.
You know, we had this $12.5 million one-off Bugatti. We had the Pininfarina Battista, which has got, they say, 1,874 horsepower. It's electric. You've then got Aston Martin seem to show off a whole bunch of cars. I mean, the Vanquish Vision looks amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a strange world, isn't it? Where, I mean, I like hypercars. I like the fantasy of it. And I was the kid that put the picture on the wall and all the rest of it. But it's almost too much now. You know, it's like, where are the real cars? You know,
yeah.
And also, who needs 1,800 horsepower? You know, Yeah, you. I mean, you know what it's like, but you can't put 700 on the ground if you're not careful.
Why does a company like Pininfarina make their own car like that? They were a design house for so long, and now they've got this automotive division. Like, are they just trying to make some money, or what's the point? Business model for it?
I know some of the guys who've actually ended up, like one of them, Dan Cooper, looks after a lot of their comms, came from Jaguar Land Rover, and name well. I think it all comes back to the whole electrification thing, that it's just become easier to do. So they've taken a motor from Rimac, which made famous when Richard Hammond crashed one and nearly
yes,
killed himself.
But I don't think
that was necessarily Rimac's fault, but they were, you know, they've a great company, great technology. And so Rimac provide the motor. Pininfarina obviously knows how to style a car. And then you can just outsource it. We talked about this before. You outsource all the components, put them all together, and suddenly, well, hey, you've got your own supercar. So it's just become easier to do. And there, we are in this transition. I mean, Lamborghini had the Aventador.
Koenigsegg had a car out there.
Koenigsegg had a gas-powered car with, I think it does 1,600 horsepower when running on ethanol, or 1,200 or 1,300 on gasoline.
Yes, it's got a 5-liter twin-turbo engine. And then I was reading a little bit about it, where they have an air compressor on the car. And when you need extra power, the air compressor shoots a shot of air into the turbos and to spool up the turbos, and it gives it it's a weird kind of idea. Like it's not like a methanol injection shot or nitrous shot. It's air, and I don't know if it's meant for high end power. I think it's meant to get
so
the turbo.
Like a Ram Air thing, sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of like a Ram Air, but they've simulated a Ram Air effect that they can do it at whatever speed, whenever the engine needs it.
I mean, it's a real transition, isn't it? Because if you want to go really fast, you go electric, because it's so much easier just to generate the performance. For performance, you still have to cool it and that sort of thing. But it was an odd show, because it was all electric vehicles, hypercars. And then we were looking at, well, what is there here for the consumer? And, you know, Mazda CX-30, which is a sort of smaller SUV. And where are the real cars?
Yeah.
And there was a couple of Peugeots and European stuff. But it's kind of Geneva's, really. If you want to see your Brabuses and your roof Porsches and all the crazy stuff, and the Mansory, which are these horrific looking Rolls-Royce conversion and stuff.
They're goofy looking.
If you want to go and see that, Geneva's the place. But it's almost getting more extreme now. It's getting more wild and more expensive.
It seemed like, you're right. Like, I've never been, and your guys that were there walking around, all the press came out of it like it was just a fantasy show. It was like all just future concepts and technology and other than the Mazda that you talked about. Is there any production cars at Geneva? It was just all like, well, we've got these grandiose ideas and
not a lot, to be honest. No, I mean a lot of some Europeans. I mean, okay, Ferrari again. Ferrari, you know, Ferrari F8 Tributo, which. Actually, if collectors listening, this is likely to be the last ever. I mean, we had the last naturally aspirated V8 Ferrari in the 458. This is probably the last non-hybrid, purely gasoline Ferrari V8, which is the F8 Tributo, which is a 488. You know, Ferrari does this thing where they launch a vehicle like they did with the 360 became the 430.
Yeah.
And so they do like a halfway, which is more than a facelift, but not quite a new model. This is where this car is. The F8 Tributo. And that probably is it. This is the last purely gasoline V8 Ferrari.
That's interesting.
So a good... if you're a collector, it's probably not a bad one to buy, or wait for the Speciale or whatever they call it version.
Some version of it. Now, listen, we like Ferraris for at least one of the reasons has always been the sound, you know, the exhaust tuning, the flat plane crank and things like that. So whatever they decide to do, they're going to have to keep that in mind, right? They're going to do some sort of hybrid version and part gas, part electric. They're going to have to still go with probably some kind of very cool, great sounding flat plane cranked V8 or some version of it. Even if it has electrification into it, we still want to be able to have that sound, right?
It's true. I mean, interesting. I know we've both driven it. We had a Hurricane Performante Spider in last week, and I took it up into the hills. And of course, that is a V10 naturally aspirated. And it's amazing. It's like going back in time. You just hear the noise and you realize how much that kind of visceral excitement is part of the experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the road, you can't go super fast anyway. So it's about that. And this is, I guess, why I bought a classic car, because it's about having that experience at very low speeds. And the Hurricane kind of serves that up because it's so noisy. And
you don't need to go fast for that to go noisy. We could just drive around Beverly Hills and make a bunch of noise in that car.
Exactly. And be super obnoxious. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what people do.
But you know, and this is a big issue. The Ferrari, I like the 488, but it doesn't sound as good as a 458. It just doesn't.
Okay. Interesting. What do you think? What do you think is going to be the next sort of, like, we caught in the electric car world? You know, we've got the Teslas, we've got a couple of newcomers, we got Jag, and I kind of like what they're doing with that. And but is there going to be one that sort of takes over? Is it going to be something from Audi? Is it going to be a Taycan from Porsche? Is it, you know, who's going to be the next sell 100,000 units?
I think what we're starting to see cars from, you know, Hyundai Kona electric won our like Editor's Choice Award. That's a great vehicle. So we're starting to see, and that's low 30s. So we're starting to see mainstream brands get into the market in a significant way. Obviously, Nissan Leaf's been around for a while and now got longer range batteries. Kia's in here with the Niro EV. So it's that mainstream market that I think will drive the growth, and it's happening super fast. I mean, if you think about it, within the next 5 years, everybody will have a range of electric cars, not just one curiosity that sort of sits aside to the gasoline stuff.
Yeah.
We will see a whole range. Audi had the Q4 concept in Geneva, which will reach production and will be much cheaper than the e-tron. Mercedes will have more. Ford's coming into the market with an electric SUV. So, and they're late to the game. So everybody's getting into it. I mean, this is happening. So it's difficult to see one vehicle. I mean, I think the Taycan will do very well, but it's difficult to see one again. This is Tesla's problem. That is their brand now strong enough to everybody to say, I'm going to stick with Tesla rather than buy a Porsche or, you know, Mercedes or whatever it may be. And maybe some of that comes down to reliability as well.
Well, I think it's going to be important for you guys to test and tell us about those things, because one of the things that you guys do, and I know Dan Edmonds over there is a big fan of this, you guys are starting to test electric vehicles in ways that we don't necessarily think about as consumers. It's like, we think about range and how fast it takes to charge, but you need to start telling us, what does it cost to charge? What kind of draw is it putting on my house? Like, what's going on? What are some of the other things we should consider when we're doing side-by-side comparisons? And then when we get into the world of electric vehicles, what's going to be the vehicle or the brand or the model that really is a game changer? It's probably not going to be something until, like, there's an electric F-150, right?
Well, that is coming.
And you're right.
What we're measuring, starting to measure, and I actually got a meeting about this afternoon, is electric efficiency, which is different, because everybody's going to say, okay, range 250 miles, and everybody's going to settle around there as being a sensible range. So what you're next into is, how efficient is my vehicle? So what's the MPG equivalent? And we're starting to measure that. And that's a really interesting piece of work. So you're getting big change, because you can just increase the battery size and the rate. So you just depend, you know, you can increase the battery size and increase the range. But if you can increase the efficiency, you don't have to carry all that weight. It's a lot cheaper. So it makes a big difference. One little thing to share, we're doing a little thing on social coming up about Tesla has introduced Atari arcade games into the center console.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about this. And what really made me laugh, they've got, do you remember Pole Position from the from the 1980s? Yeah, we're both old enough. From the 80s. So this, you can now play this in your Tesla. But it has a Model 3 instead of an F1 car. But they've engineered in engine noise, and it really made me laugh. So you got this. Even they are saying, actually, yeah, you need a bit of noise.
You need a bit of noise in the game. Yeah. And I think I read this morning that they're already having issues with that because of the licensing of the Pole Position game.
They not licensed it?
I don't think they did.
Because he says Atari, but actually the games are more like what you and I remember as arcade games, not...
I'm sure they'll work it out. It was just some kind of...
Surely not running a bit fast and loose, surely.
Yeah. All right, let me tell you guys a little bit about more about Wrangler, Bill Goldberg's favorite pair of jeans. Everybody has a favorite pair of jeans, even Bill, the pair that fits perfect and always looks great, the pair that you wear out at night, at home, on the couch, at work, wherever. They're the go-to. Do not underestimate their importance. They're good jeans. No one knows this better than Wrangler, the authority on jeans, using their expertise in comfort and durability. Wrangler jeans are made for the adventurers, the go-getters, folks that like to keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, if you're the type who walks the earth in search of something, these are the jeans for you, like Kane and Kung Fu. Just walk the earth in search of something.
Billy Jack.
Billy Jack. That's a good one. Yeah, he did that. Good pull, Bill. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits at a price that works for you. Vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women. They have new styles. They have great fits. They have the vintage re-releases we talked about before. So check out Wrangler. Real comfortable jeans. Check out Wrangler.com. All right.
Hey, what do you guys think about the rumors on the Corvette? What's going on with that right now?
Mid-engine Corvette. I think people are excited about it because no one's buying the front-engine Corvette right now.
No, I mean, if you drive the ZR1, you realize that car has just come to the end of what's practical and sensible in that chassis.
Listen, you go to a Corvette expert. Go to somebody like Ken Lingenfelter, who's the sweetest guy ever. We love that guy. He's got three of them. He loves that car so much. And I'm like, what do you do with it? Like, your business is making these things go faster and better. Like, what do you do? And he's like, well, we'll come up with something. But yeah. But it doesn't really need a whole lot.
No,
you know?
And it's already over-engineered.
What I was talking about was the latest in that they're bending frames because they got 900 horsepower pushing that car right now. And that's the latest issue on the assembly line.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
The mid-engine stuff has been, I mean, this has been, obviously we've seen the spy shots for years now, and it's not clear whether it's going to be a Corvette or potentially call it something else. I mean, every auto show comes around and we're like, is it the one with the mid-engine Corvette? And we get all these GM invites and it turns out to be a sort of, you know, mild facelift to a truck or something. And New York is coming up in April. Will it be there? It may well be. So,
well, here's a question for you too, because you bring up Corvette and I don't know the answer to this yet, but isn't there room for a front engine and a mid-engine Corvette? Why not have a more traditional Corvette and keep evolving the C7 and then have your mid-engine Corvette be a higher price?
Well, you answered that yourself because of the lack of, what, 9,000 of them are sitting in dealerships right now?
Yes, because I think people think that's going to be the only option, and maybe it is the only option. I don't know. What's your take on it?
I think this
also people. You would think that people would go snap it up because it's the last front engine.
There's a case for that, but I was about to say, as a collector's piece, the last, again, naturally aspirated front engine Corvette could be a good one to wrap up in cotton wool and look after. I personally think there's room for both because they're different cars, aren't they? I mean, the front end one is more of a GT, and you could take it in that direction, a fast GT, and then the mid-engine thing. I mean, let's face it, they're building that to go racing. So make that the kind of racy version. I mean, that's the whole debate. Do you call the mid-engine one a Corvette? You could call it something else.
Right. I mean, but you could take a Corvette and fill in that $60,000 to $100,000 range, and then you can, with the front engine, then you can do your $100,000 to $130,000 range, with something, mid-engine, and give it sort of a different, and where are we? We're sort of like, like 488 in Ferrari, California. You've got two sort of, your front engine, your mid, you can do maybe not quite the difference between Mustang and Ford GT because you're talking about a $50,000 car or $40,000 car and a $500,000 car, but there could be something in there.
There could. There's also a place for mid-engine Corvette as like a sub, you're getting McLaren 720, Ferrari 488 type performance for in the traditional Corvette way for half the price. And so, 100 to 150. That would make a lot of sense.
It also fills a gap in sort of the American muscle car supercar market. We're starting to see $90,000 Challengers, and we've got a $92,000 Shelby GT500 coming out.
Yeah,
we've already got a $100,000 ZR1 Corvette, and but now where do you jump to? You got to jump to $250,000. What's in that 130 range? you know, maybe 140 range.
Yeah, Aston's 911s, you know? That yeah. sort of thing. It's, right. It's true.
And, and Aston's is an example, but you lose performance because because the Shelby's and the Dodge Challengers and the, you know, and the cars in the American car, the ZR1s in that space, and the, you know, they're all faster.
And they're a different, it's a different proposition. And Aston, you're right, Aston's mid-engine supercar, which was debuted at Geneva, the Vanquish concept, that is going to be, you know, that's going to be more like 720, McLaren 720 money.
Yeah.
So you're right, there's a big space in that market for something which has got more performance than 911 Turbo for similar money, and Porsche GT3 sort of thing. Interesting.
All right, guys, we've got we got to wrap up. They're lining up outside to get the studio. We'll chat more. We'll do more next week. I got a Alfa Romeo Stelvio
Quattroporte.
No, Folio.
Oh, Quattroporte. Yeah, it was a Maserati.
I'm thinking Maserati and Alfa Romeo. Yeah,
it's been a long week.
So I got a hot little SUV, and they got a Trackhawk coming in, and I'm trying to get the guys. I by the way, Bill, I pitched the Dodge guys. I was like, hey, take the SRT Durango and send one down to Bill's house. They're like, yeah, where does he live? And I told them, they're like, I was like, all right, let's work that out.
I drove the Power Wagon, the Ram Power Wagon, for the first time.
So
we've got a film coming up in a couple of weeks' time, which is the Power Wagon versus the Ford
F-150.
No, I'm having a complete brain fade. That's why I'm pointing at you, because I don't want to embarrass myself. I'm not really.
The 250.
Fast F-150.
The Raptor.
The Raptor. Sorry. I drove it. I'm just having a complete brain fade.
Yeah, the Raptor. It's an early morning for us over here.
I haven't had any breakfast yet. We had the Power Wagon. We're doing a film, Power Wagon versus Raptor.
Yeah.
So your friend Dan Edmonds, we went off-road with it, and that's a great film.
I'm surprised he came back at all. Dan.
It was an epic shoot, apparently, because it rained, so everything just
I saw his muddy photos. All right, we're going to wrap things up.
Before I embarrass myself any further.
Well, let's just defer to Edmunds.com. Let's see what's going on over there. And most of the new stuff and your recap videos are all at Edmunds.com/roadnoise.
/roadnoise. That's all our latest editorial stuff. So, yeah, check out the mid-sized truck film as well.
And of course, shopping. That's...
It is.
We don't talk about that enough, but if you want to buy a car, go to the dealer, test drive the ones you like, pick one out, then go to Edmunds.com and buy it.
Yeah, I mean, we're still working with dealers, and that's how the model works. But what we do is basically take the hassle out of it. Come to us, our research will advise you on what to buy, and then we can guide you through the whole process. You can put in your credit history, you can start to fill in all the key information. We can give you a great deal, and that's why we exist, basically.
Love it. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
New and used.
All right, we're going to finish up. Bill, anything else?
No, man. Next week will be a packed show with so much car stuff. I cannot wait, man.
So you're traveling, you're
around,
flying.
Bondurant tomorrow or Friday is just going to be a rip. So
you're going to have a great time. We're going to chat about it next week. And then that weekend of the 23rd, I think it is, we will be heading out to Pomona, I guess. We're gonna lock in some more details. Hopefully you'll have cars out there. That'll be fun. We'll do some drag racing as well. All right, guys, thank you so much. For Bill and Alistair and myself and Chris in the booth there. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Uh-huh.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.